There we go. We are like, hey, folks, they're tuning into the BAMP podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, here with Tristan Zimmerman, the brain behind the new RPG Shanty Hunter, as well as the Emmy award-winning blog. Is that right?
That's correct. Well, award-nominated, excuse me.
Molten Sulfur Gaming Blog. That is pretty cool. Before we go further, I am actually obligated to play this musical video intro that assures our listeners that we are a high quality production values kind of podcast. So just a second. Okay, now that everyone's concerns have been alleviated by that incredibly well-produced musical intro, Tristan, let's talk about your blog first, because that's, I love the name. What's that all about there?
So the name is nothing super in particular. What it is, though, is molten sulfur is real, and it's colorful. The melting point of sulfur is just below its flash point, which means that usually when molten sulfur is encountered, it is on fire, and sulfur burns with a bright blue flame. And it's real, and that's kind of my brand. Is I put out stuff that's very colorful, but that's grounded in real history and real folklore. So the Molten Sulfur blog is a weekly blog that pulls from real history and real folklore. But from an RPG perspective, right? So like, here's a really cool thing that's going to be interesting and fun to read about. And then here's how you can file the serial numbers off of it and drop it right into the RPG campaign that you are already running at home.
Wow, that's news you can use. That's really cool. And it's easy to find, too. Just moltensulfur.com.
Perfect. Yeah, moltensulfur.com, or just type molten sulfur into Google. Molten Sulfur RPG.
Sweet. Let me share that, because you've got a pretty cool-looking blog, too. Well, that's pretty nifty. And, hey, perfect segue. Introduction to Shanty Hunters.
Introduction to Shanty Hunters, indeed.
You just don't get segues that easy, usually, in this business. That is awesome. So Shanty Hunters is your upcoming RPG about collecting magical sea shanties in 1880. It goes live on Kickstarter in November. I'd like to have you back to talk about it again before, it'll be here before you know it, but still. You use the Gumshoe engine, and that's kind of the sort of the 500,000 foot view. Tell us what that's all about.
Absolutely. Before I get going, do you have a fan going in the background?
I don't think so. Okay. There's an AC vent right above me. I can mute myself, though. See if I can. Did it go away when I muted myself?
Okay. I realized now that I should have talked before I started recording. Live on the internet. But hey, NBD. So, Shanty Hunters is a tabletop role-playing game about collecting magical sea shanties in the year 1880. You play as scholars and sailors in 1880 who are obsessed with documenting shanties. The age of sail is coming to a close, and unless efforts are made to preserve these songs, this beautiful maritime art form will be lost when the age of sail ends. There is a problem with documenting these shanties, though, which is that there is a wicked spirit that does not like it when shanties fall into the hands of landsmen. And so as a consequence, when you document one of these shanties, the imagery and events in the song come alive. They recapitulate. They begin to occur on the ship you're sailing aboard.
So just for example, if you're documenting the events of the Wellerman, you would suddenly be besieged by a killer whale?
Yes, and that is a very real possibility. Wellerman, of course, very, very popular maritime song that really kind of exploded on TikTok, I want to say, in February. I, alas, am too old to have participated in it, but if you were gonna have Wellerman recapitulate, you might have some sort of encounter with a villainous whale. You might also find that your ship is stalked by a spirit that, you know, creepily promises to deliver sugar and tea and rum. And how can you make this spirit go away before it does something terrible to your ship? Your ship, of course, which is stuck out there forever until you resolve this, because that's what the song is all about. One of the really fun things about Shanty Hunters is I strongly encourage you to design the villain collaboratively with your players at the beginning of the game, at the beginning of your campaign. So if you're running, I recommend maybe a 7-session campaign. That's where the game shines best, but it's great for one-shots. So if you want to run a Shanty Hunters kind of as a horror game with, you know, the creepy spirit with the sugar and the tea and the rum, cool, design the wicked spirit so that it causes the shanties to recapitulate down that vein. But if you want to hey, big monsters, you know, let's fight in Wellerman, let's fight the big killer whale. You can absolutely design your villain so that it causes the shanty to recapitulate in that way. And of course, if you don't want to collaboratively design your villain, I present examples and so forth. So it's very easy. It's pick up and play.
That's really cool. I think the fan is my work laptop over here, which is
okay.
So apologies for that.
No worries.
Let's close it. So hopefully we'll do up a ghost here in a second. I love this idea. It's not often you get a unique take on RPGs these days, but you really got one here. That's exciting.
Well, thank you.
So I understand you spend a lot of time to see yourself.
Yeah. So I come from a sailing family. I went to sea first before my first birthday. You know, with my folks, we sailed, you know, down the eastern seaboard of the United States. We sailed to Cuba. We sailed to the Dry Tortugas. And then after college, I joined the Navy. And with the Navy, I circumnavigated the globe. I crossed the line off Somalia. And that, you know, I try to let that perspective come through in the book, right? So when the book talks about like, hey, here's what the water looks like in the South China Sea, and here's what the water looks like in the Atlantic, and wouldn't you know, it looks very different. You know, that's based on lived experience, and you try to share that.
Oh, that's really interesting. Cool. So why 1880?
So 1880, because the age of sail is coming to a close. Humans have been using sailing ships to ply the briny deep for thousands of years. But by 1880, the writing is on the wall. Sail is being replaced by steam, by ever cheaper, ever faster, ever more reliable steam engines. And every year, the commercial sailing fleet gets smaller and the commercial steamships fleet gets bigger. And by 1880, everybody can tell that this is inevitable. This is just going to be a thing that happens, which means that now is the time to go document some shanties. And in fact, in our real history, people really were out there documenting shanties as furiously as they could in this time period. Because you want to document the art form while it is still mature and vibrant, right? While shanties, which are work songs, right? They're maritime work songs used by sailors to haul in unison, right? So they're a tool just as much as a marlinspike or a capstan. Okay. And you want to document them while they are still being used as tools.
So it's kind of like the Brothers Grimm going out to document German folklore, or William Butler Yeats going out to document Celtic folklore.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a cool premise. Nice. Can you talk about your experience in the Navy? Was that a good time for you?
I am of the opinion that joining the Navy was perhaps the best decision I ever made after leaving the Navy. I would recommend to anyone a stint in the military, if you, of course, have the personality for it. And you know, it gave me a good paying job. It brought me, it helped me see the world. Turns out 3/4 of the world is water, so seeing the world is sometimes a little less exciting than you might want. But I got to do some amazing things. I got to see some amazing things. I got to visit some amazing places. I got to do interesting work. I also got to be bored out of my skull, frequently very, very sad because, you know, I was trapped in a tin can thousands of miles from everyone I love. And, you know, that's the nature of the work. So, you know, I would do it again in a heartbeat, but I'm glad I got out when I did.
Yeah, I was drinking with a Submariner a few years ago, and he taught me some things I probably never wanted to know about life in a submarine. It can be a colorful world.
One of the real horrible things, and thank God I was never on a submarine. I'm 6'2", so I wouldn't fit anyway. But man, those Submariners, they are a weird bunch. They are an odd race of mole people living in their tiny little mobile tunnel with some real weird cultural artifacts. Perhaps my least favorite of which is the idea that the amount of happiness aboard the submarine, aboard the boat, is fixed when the hatch closes. So as long as you're underway, any efforts you can take to make someone else unhappy, well, the amount of happiness is fixed, so that will then just flow to someone else, hopefully to you. And so it's a real prank heavy, hazing heavy culture that's just like, no, I'm perfectly happy, you know, not being aboard a submarine. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I heard some of those stories. I attempted to repeat some of them, but I think one of them probably requires a clearance that I didn't even have when I heard the story. And the others are just kind of nasty. So I don't want to get into it, but sounds like you've heard some yourself. So what kind of ship are you on?
I was aboard USS Essex. She is an LHD. She's an amphibious assault ship. Think of her as a helicopter carrier that poops out very angry Marines. So she carries enough Marine Corps infantry and air power and artillery and logistics and to topple a government or conquer a small country. Different Essex. That, I believe, is the World War II Essex.
Ah, shoot. Okay.
So Google LHD-2, and that'll be my Essex.
LHD-2. All right. Oh, there it is. Oh, it's much more compact. Okay, cool. Apologies for that.
And just as an idle mention, I know we're here to talk about shanty hunters, but if you say, "Oh wow, I wonder what an RPG," yep, there she is. That's her, all right. I wonder what an RPG set aboard an amphibious assault ship would be like. I have another game out called Darkened Ship, which is in a collection called Making History, 3 1 session RPGs that I published, I want to say 2 years ago, that is a horror story with pre-generated characters where you're all playing as junior enlisted sailors who wake up one morning to find that they are alone on a ship that should have 3,000 souls. And that one's always a lot of fun to run.
Oh, cool. Wow. This is really interesting stuff. So Shanty Hunters.
Yes.
Going to be on Kickstarter. You're doing promo way ahead of time. This is July, late July. You're going to be on there in 4 months. So you're greasing the skids before we hit the go button, looks like.
Yep, just trying to get my ducks in a row.
All right. Do you have the landing page on Kickstarter yet? People, I can send people to.
Absolutely. So you can type it in as moltensulfur.com/shanty-hunters, or you can just go to moltensulfur.com and click on the top banner where it says Shanty Hunters. Okay. And there is a nice landing page that really talks about the game and gets into the kind of the nitty gritties of what's all in the book. And has a couple of places where you can go ahead and drop your email address, and I will notify you when the Kickstarter goes live. And that is absolutely all that I will ever use your email address for if you drop in one of those fields. That's not, you know, if you want to sign up for the newsletter, there's a different field elsewhere on the website. This is not that field.
Okay, cool. So you use the Gumshoe Engine. What's that all about?
Yeah, so the Gumshoe Engine, for those who weren't familiar with it, the Gumshoe Engine is a fabulous engine by Robin D. Laws. It's published by Pelgrane Press, and Pelgrane has a number of different Gumshoe games. Some of the more notable, Trail of Cthulhu, Fear Itself, Mutant City Blues, Swords of the Serpentine is going to be coming out soon. That's going to be amazing. Real excited for that. But what Gumshoe is it is a rule set specifically for investigations, for mysteries. And it's based on the really basic and obvious in hindsight, but kind of revolutionary observation that in mystery fiction, tension, an interesting story, never arises from the detective failing to get the necessary clues, right? It never happens that Sherlock Holmes is investigating a crime scene and fails to identify the kind of cigarette ash. And so he's just like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now. And then but we do that all the time in role-playing games, right? Like, sorry, you failed the search check. Oh God, I didn't have anything prepared for this, says the GM. Now I have to improvise something for 30 minutes until I can get you back around and make the check again. That's not interesting. That's not fun. That's not a good story. And so Gumshoe instead says, hey, what if you automatically got the clue, right? What if you walked in and you look at your character sheet and, hey, what do you know? I am skilled in forensics. And I tell the GM, hey, I'm skilled in forensics. You know, now I'm going to describe what I'm doing with the cigarette ash. And the GM just gives you the clue. The fun in these kind of stories is not in finding and maybe failing to get the clue. The fun is in attempting and maybe failing to put the clues together and figuring out and maybe not succeeding what's going on. And then what do you do about it? And then trying to do something about it. So I wanted to use Gumshoe for Shanty Hunters, and it is a very stripped, I stripped down the Gumshoe engine pretty strongly to make it fit a highly episodic adventure structure, right? Normal Gumshoe campaigns tend to be multi-session. Shanty Hunters adventures, your campaign can run multiple sessions, but the adventure is one session long. It is very discreet. You know, you sing the shanty, bad things happen, you deal with them, story's over. And then until you document the next shanty. So I had to strip it down. But at the end of the day, it's an investigation game. Just most of the clues are in the lyrics of the shanty, right? That is your primary set of core clues is, hey guys, you know that shanty you just documented? Here's the lyrics. That's what's going to recapitulate. And based on that, you can try to anticipate what's going to happen and kind of cut it off at the pass. Or once things are already happening, you can figure out what you're going to do about it now that you see how things are progressing. Gumshoe, because it's fundamentally an investigative game. And Gumshoe is, bar none, the best investigative RPG out there, as far as I'm aware.
That was on mute. Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm glad they solved that problem. I've heard about it for years, but I didn't realize, because one of my biggest beefs with an investigative RPG session is, oh my God, what if we missed the roll?
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole session is trying to, okay, that was the clue we were supposed to get, didn't get it, what are you going to do now? And you can spend a lot of, you know, tedious, terrible RPG sessions after you rolled bad on some investigation checks. So I'm just trying to figure out what to do next. So that's really cool. I'm glad you explained that to me because I've been curious about that system for years now. So that's pretty cool. So speaking of sailing, ships can have an intimidating level of technical knowledge and lots of specialized terminology. How does the game handle that, or do you just kind of hand wave that and focus on the story?
You're right. Right? Ships are very complicated, and there's a lot of fancy nautical vocabulary and fancy nautical knowledge. And Shanty Hunters provides in the book what I feel is all the information a GM needs to know to design an adventure, right? Like, hey, how does a ship actually work? What are the names of all the parts? But it is not necessary that the players know any of this, because that would be insane. Imagine turning around and trying to sell a book that is for a game that assumes a level of recondite knowledge that nobody has, right? Like, that's just silly. So what I recommend and how a shanty hunter's adventure is presented as being structured in the book. And of course, once it leaves my hands, it's all up to you. But the way it's presented in the book is you start with an establishing incident. Because the GM has picked the shanty in advance and knows to a certain extent how this recapitulation is going to go, then the GM also knows what pieces of nautical knowledge are going to be relevant, right? Like, does it, maybe it matters in this session what a rudder chain is and how a rudder chain works, but maybe it's not relevant what tacking is and how it differs from jibing. So instead, you present an establishing incident at the start of the adventure that, to run with this rudder chain example, that causes the PCs to have a reason to interact with the rudder chain in a low stakes environment. And because they are interacting with it, because there's something interesting going on, maybe, you know, maybe there's something broken in the rudder chain and it's like, you know, hey, can you guys go, you know, do something about the rudder chain? And they're like, man, what's a rudder chain? It's like, well, go check it out. And you've interacted with it, you've learned about it. And now when it comes up in the high stakes environment, you have enough knowledge to be able to interact with it in an informed capacity. And maybe you wind up taking it a completely different direction. Maybe you don't wind up actually, you know, interacting with the rudder chain after the shanty is recapitulating. But you have the information. You are informed. You're ready to go.
So there's a Chekhovian gun kind of foreshadowing built into this.
Yes.
Adventure, so it's not going to be a problem.
Okay, yes.
Cool. Well, this sounds like a lot of fun. You know, we do a Monday demo show. Monday's lunchtime is just kind of a, we call it a beat-em-up, but we've been demoing different systems. I don't know if you're free about that time, but I would love to give this, you know, a playtest someday if you're up for that.
Yeah, let's be in touch about that.
All right, sounds good. Well, hey, this has been a fun conversation. I don't want to cut you off, though. Any closing thoughts, anything else you want to mention to our legions of viewers and listeners out there?
just that, that once again, it'll be Shanty Hunters will be coming to Kickstarter in November. Go to moltensulfur.com to sign up for the mailing list right there at the bottom of the screen or presumably in the show notes. And I really hope that you out there in podcast land enjoy the game.
Sweet. Sounds good. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Christian Zimmerman, for making time to talk to us this evening. And we will catch you all next time on Banff Podcast.
Good night, everyone.